We'd like to welcome you to The Journey from the Hill. This is a weekly podcast of Chapel Hill Baptist Church. Each week, you'll hear biblical teaching from our pastor, Dr. Shannon Moses. At the end of today's podcast, you'll hear a way to reach out to us with any questions you might have about this message. Now, let's prayerfully listen as Dr. Moses opens the Word of God.
If you got your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to turn with me over to the book of Matthew. Matthew, we've been looking at, again, I do not think I am going to teach you anything new during this Christmas season. I don't think so. We've been looking at the various personalities, the various people, angels that are always seen in the Christmas story. We've looked at John the Baptist. We've looked at Mary. We've looked at the angels. Remember, the angels play a very big part during the Christmas conversation. This past Wednesday night, we looked at the prophets. We went all the way back in the Old Testament, and we looked at Isaiah. We looked at David in the Psalms. We looked at a lot of the prophecies that pointed hundreds, we're talking hundreds, even thousands plus years before Christ came onto the scene, before Mary was found pregnant with a baby, before all of that happened, the prophets were saying, this is going to happen. Just further validating, further proving that this book is so relevant, not just to the past, but relevant to every one of our daily lives, each and every day. And let me encourage you, be in it. Be in it. I don't know if you've noticed, but inside the bulletin for the next couple of weeks, you know, we have, Temple Hill Baptist Church, you guys have read, it's in here somewhere, where's it at? You have read the entire Old Testament, okay? The entire Old Testament, you have read it this year. If you have stayed up with our weekly Bible reading and followed along with what we've done in the bulletins, you have read it all. And what we're doing over these last couple of weeks is we're reading the Christmas story through the different Gospels. This week, we're going to be reading Matthew chapters 1 through 4. This morning, we're in Matthew, and today we're looking at a guy. So who you think it's going to be? We're looking at Joseph. Not a lot of information about Joseph. You know, Joseph don't really say a lot in Scripture. All right, we have no words of Joseph in all of Scripture. He does not speak. We don't have recorded anything that he says, but we do get out of Joseph something that's very important, and we've hit on it each and every time we've been together, is obedience, okay? If there is something that you can learn from the character, the person, the father of Jesus, the earthly Father of Jesus that God used down here on this earth, we know he's going to have good character, or God wouldn't have picked him. We know he came from a good family. We know a lot of stuff, and it is fleshed out in how Scripture time and time and time and time again says Joseph does exactly what he's told to do. Guys, Scripture is very clear in its commands, in what it requires of us, desires of us, you and I, as followers of Christ, we do not have a license to go live ever how we want to. We do not have a license to sin. We do not have a license to go and sin and think, oh, well, God will forgive us. Scripture is clear. It says, God forbid, don't do that. You and I have the Spirit of God indwelling us, showing us when we read it, when we look through it, and the Scripture and the Spirit convicts us to do or act or stop, okay, or to start. Then what we learn from Joseph's this morning, and we're going to read a lot of, well, I mean, it's not really a lot. There's not a lot of it. But you get a lot of the Christmas story. You get a lot of the birth story. You get a lot in it. But we're going to read about Joseph, and what you see over and over and over is a man, I'm going to be honest, y'all, he's put in a difficult situation. This first text we see here in Matthew, he is put in a really tough role. Let me go and explain. Betrothal is not like, it's similar-ish to our engagement, okay? But it is probably more serious than our engagement. when they were betrothed and when she was found pregnant with a child, that was a serious matter, because that meant when she was betrothed, basically the parents or they said, hey, you man, you woman, y'all gonna be married. They didn't even have to know each other. They didn't have to like each other. They didn't have to have ever met each other. They didn't. It was kind of a setup sort of thing. And they were betrothed to be together with one another. And the idea was that through the marriage, through the coming together, through the process of becoming one, they would in time fall in love with one another and all of that. But there, our Western minds don't even think. Our Western minds are like, yuck. Yeah, that's what we would think. But that's not how it was. And really many cultures even do that today. Even in 24, many cultures do that even today. But when he found out that she was pregnant, and he makes this choice here in just a minute that you're going to read it, and you know what he does. He says, look, I'm going to privately put her away. I'm going to privately divorce her. Basically, he saved her life. Because if word got out, the people aren't going to believe that, hey, the Holy Spirit come upon you and you miraculously were conceived by the Spirit of God and there was a child inside of you. How's that story going to fly? It's not, is it? What's going to get out is that she's done had an affair, that she's done messed around, that she's done something that she shouldn't have done. And the consequence of that is stoning to death. He knew that. She could be killed. She literally could die for this. And it talks a lot about his character. It speaks a lot to who he is as a person, that he basically hears from the angel. I can't imagine. We can't imagine, because we're not put in that situation. We're not given the consequences. You know, in our world, it would have been like, forget it, move on. Or you know what I'm saying? It would have been like, okay, forget it, you messed up, we just split. No, and there probably isn't a high likelihood that you're going to get murdered or stoned to death, but here she could have. But Joseph instead makes what we see is right decision after right decision after right decision. Not that he's perfect. But what we see is God tells him to do something. The angel of the Lord tells him to do something. And every single time, church, he does it. What can we learn from Joseph? As we read through this, just see instance after instance of a guy who hears from the Lord and does it. I think that's a pretty simple yet important nugget for us to apply to our own lives. Hey, God says do it, then guess what? You do it. When God says, and here's the thing. You're like, how do you know God's telling you to do it? Well, parents, Bible says honor your father and your mother. Mom and daddy says do it, then you just simply do it. Boss says do it, you know what? To the best of your ability, be at peace with all men. We're to walk worthy of the name of Jesus. We're to carry ourselves in a manner that pleases him in all aspects, not just when we're in this box. No, when we're at work, at school, play, wherever we are. When God speaks, or when we're told, when we are, guys, we are to simply obey. We're getting over in Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they had come together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. See, he's like, look, we're just going to quietly make this go away. We're not going to make a big deal out of it. I don't want to bring any press or attention to it. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated means God with us. And here's the deal. Radical. Oh my goodness. My fiance is pregnant. It wasn't me. I'm in the middle of the night. I've got this dream. This angel is coming to me and telling me something that I just cannot even wrap my mind around. And verse 24 says, and Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. It's that simple. It's not complex. We're studying. You're reading through the Word. You've picked up God's Word on a, I don't know, on a Tuesday morning. You're reading your Bible study on a Thursday afternoon. You're listening to a message on a Sunday or Wednesday, and you're sitting there, and the Spirit of God just clearly speaks to you or convicts you about something and or shows you something and speaks to our heart. Guys, our reaction, our response is simple. And Joseph did exactly what the angel said to him. I mean, think about this year, 2024. Remember, it was following, running our lane, staying in our lane, not looking to the right or looking to the left, but keeping our eyes fixed on Christ and just, you know, yeah, but what's going on over there? And yeah, but look how God's blessing them, or look what's happening in their home. It's none of that. This is the deck you and I have been given. This is the hand we have. This is the life you and I have been given, and we have been simply told to follow Him, to trust Him. Here again, think about it. Just do it. Just do what it says. Just do what He says. Shannon, just do what He says do. To him who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. It's very clear. It's not complicated. It's not vague, is it? Usually when we're placed at that crossroads, kind of like He is there, and there's that conflict, there's that crisis of, am I going to do what the Spirit of God is I know is the right thing to do, or am I going to do what honestly pleases me, or me want to do, me? That crisis, that conflict, that moment is where we grow in our faith, where we become more Christ-like, where we pick up our cross daily, when we deny ourselves daily, when we don't do what we want to do and rather do what God tells us to do daily. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. What better testimony of a life well spent would you and I? What's better than that? He just simply did what God told him to do. Didn't make sense. It looked odd. It didn't make sense to the world. It was strange to the world, it may be. I mean, can you imagine what others must have thought? Dude, what are you doing? What is going on here? But he did what the angel said do. And he took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Look over in chapter 2. In chapter 2 of the book of Matthew, the Magi visit, you know, and Herod has done heard that there's going to be this king. In verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem was troubled. And gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they said, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written about him. And you will be Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of the Jews. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me so that I may come and worship him. We know that's not what he wanted to do. What do you want to do? He wanted to kill him. Look down in verse 12. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left from their own country by another way. Now when they had gone, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take the child and the mother and flee into Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. And what does Joseph do? Verse 14, so Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still night and left for Egypt. Angel come and says, go. It's almost like this one's almost like, hey, I want you to get up and leave your house. Abraham, I want you to get up, I want you to leave your house, and I want you to go. And he went. It's very simple. It's a recurring theme. I'm just going to point it out all through Scripture. I'm going to point it out all morning. It's over and over and over. Want to see it again? Look down in verse 16. Then Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi and became very enraged and sent and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its vicinity from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined by the Magi. Then what was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted because they were no more. But when Herod died, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And guess what chapter verse 21 is going to probably say? So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and came into the land. But when he had heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Then after being warned by God in a dream, he left for that region and came and lived in the city of called Nazareth. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. Time after time after time, God says do something and he simply does it. Stop right where you are. What is God telling you to do right now and you're not doing it? Okay, let's switch it. What are you doing right now that God's saying stop doing and yet you're continuing to do it? What is it? What is it that the Spirit of God has been ever so often just saying, hey, you, hey, you, hey, you. And you're like, no, not today. No, just talk to him. No, not my job. No, it's them. No, I'm not ready. No, I'm not prepared. What is it? And here's the thing. What the Spirit may be telling him is different than what he's telling her. It's different than what he's telling him. It's different than what he's telling you. But as followers of Christ, remember last week we was talking about Mary, and Mary, the angel Gabriel comes and says all that to Mary, and Mary's like the bond slave of the Lord. I'll do whatever you want me to do. God uses that. God uses obedience. God's pleased in obedience. You hear the Spirit of God. I hear the Spirit of God. We hear the voice of the Lord. We feel the conviction of God. What is he saying do? What is he saying not do? What's he saying start? What's he saying stop? What's he saying quit? What if? Nah, Joseph pondered it a little while longer and Herod found him. Eesh. Joseph, the angel of the Lord came and said, hey, you got to get up. He's about to come through and slay them all. Nah, I'm just gonna try my luck on this one. But guys, ain't that what we find ourselves doing sometimes? I'm just gonna try my luck. I think I know better. I think I know better. Go over to Luke. Luke chapter 2. We see Joseph again. And Jesus here is about 8 days old. He goes to the temple. We see him only a few times, remember. We see Jesus at birth at 2 years old, at 12, 8 years, 8 days old, 12 years old, and then around 30-ish when he would start his earthly ministry. And here we see something really, really important about, I would say, Joseph and Mary, but probably Joseph. Being a young man, we know that he was a carpenter's son. Scripture tells us, being a young man, probably following in his father's footsteps and watching and listening and learning from his father. Probably watching his father take care of the home. Probably watching the father take care of his wife. Probably watching the father take care of the rest of the family. Look at verse 39. They're leaving. Verse 39, when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city of Nazareth. And the child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom. And the grace of God was upon him. Who was teaching him that? The home. The family. There you see Joseph. There you see the parents. There you see pouring into him. Now it's verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. Every year, daddy's leading the home saying, hey, son, it's time. We got to go to Jerusalem. We got to do this because this honors and glorifies the Father. We're going to walk in obedience. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Verse 42, and when he become 12 years, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. Here we are. We've been doing it year after year after year after year after year. This is just what we do. This is who we are. I'm telling you, the world needs more guys like that. This is who we are, y'all. Yeah, but daddy, nobody else is going. It don't matter. We going. It don't matter what the rest of the world's doing. We're going. At 12 years old, he goes up. Read the story. And as they were turning, after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents were unaware of it. But supposed him to be in a caravan and went a day's journey, and they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. Verse 45, when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. And then after 3 days, they found him in the temple sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. That's powerful, isn't it? And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When they saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you. And he said to them, why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house? They did not understand the statement which he had made to them, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them, and his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Look at verse 52. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor of God and men. We can only assume he saw it in the home. We don't see Joseph really after this. Joseph is not at his baptism. Joseph is not at his crucifixion. Joseph is not really referenced or mentioned. The best we can tell is he died somewhere along the way. There were other brothers born to Jesus. We know that in Scripture. But the glimpse we get of him is enough. the glimpse we get of this guy who is first put in a really awkward situation with his soon-to-be bride that just shows up pregnant, and he's trying to sleep at night, and all of a sudden this angel pops in and's telling him all of this stuff. Guys, God don't have to make sense. God don't have to make sense. God don't have to fit in our box. God doesn't have to be... Another thing we can learn from him, I mean, if you just take that character study and you look at this guy and you see that you got to be, first of all, flexible. I'm settling in. I'm nesting. It's his home. And he's like, look, I need you to go to Egypt. Okay. He gone. Settling in, resting, nesting. I'm settled. This is all going to be good. Look, I need you to head back. Okay. I need you to go here. All right. I need you to stay here a little while. Sure. I need you to do this. All right. Guys, men, I think men and women can learn from Joseph. I think all of us can learn from, if the Spirit of God is telling us to do it, then simply do it. Yeah, but the world may not understand it. They're not supposed to understand it. Those around us may call us names and may make fun of us and all that. Who cares? Not men pleasers, God pleasers. This is hard. This is hard. This is not politically correct. This is not normal. This is not the way of the day. This is obedience to a holy God who has called us out of this world to be different, to be set apart, to be his sons and his daughters, to be used for his purpose and his glory. It's not much to Joseph in a way if you just read the verses, but then again, there's a whole lot there if you actually let the Spirit of God say, all right, Lord, what are you teaching me through this guy? What are you teaching me through this guy? Let me ask you, what is he telling you to do? What is he telling you to stop doing? What has the Spirit been nagging you? You know, I have people tell me all the time, they'll say things like, well, I just been, what is it? Something like, well, I've been just waiting or something. They'll say something like, well, I just been waiting to make sure it's of the Lord. Pretty clear a lot of times. Pretty clear a lot of times. Pray about it. Say, Lord God, is that you speaking? Lord God, is that you? God, is that you? I'm listening. And then when he speaks, obey. Father God, around this room, I don't know who you're talking to. I don't know who you're speaking to. I don't know who you're impressing on. God, your servants are listening. Forgive us of our disobedience. Forgive us of ignoring you. Forgive us, God, for not responding appropriately, quickly. God, forgive us. We're listening. God, we're listening. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you received a blessing from this week's message. If you have any questions about what you've heard from Pastor Shannon this week, you may call our church office at area code 205-339-4071. We pray that God's word strengthens you as you go on your journey today.